annoying them at that, but something was weird in me because, like, I just expect sex dates to just lose. So they're down, like, 3 touchdowns right off the bat in the first quarter. And I was like, yay! But inside, I'm like, kind of sad because that's my alma mater getting demolished. In the second quarter, Sac State scores 2 touchdowns and a field goal really quickly. So they're just down 4 points by half. And so I started screaming and yelling for Sac State. you'd be like, lots of trouble, right? Leave you alone. Anyways, so God wants you to join in Him. If you didn't realize this back then when you became a Christian, even now, He wants to call you, beg you, and charge you, in one sense, to join Him in the greatest battle, the greatest war. It's not just a single battle, it's really the greatest war for the gospel, for truth, and for souls, and for the advancement of the gospel and the kingdom of God through discipleship, through families, and through local churches in this city and many cities. And so God is calling us to this, whether you think about it or not. And so I want to spend some time to help you to understand, if we're going to be victorious as a church, if we're going to rise up as a church, if we're going to fight the good fight as a church, we need to understand how Satan is attacking us. And I want you to know, he wants to attack us at all levels. And as I have been here for about a year, I believe Satan is attacking us at all these levels in this church and other churches too. It's not just our own church that we are participating in. So I don't want you to be ignorant. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Basically, Paul is saying that he doesn't want you to be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. So I'm going to give you five ways that Satan attacks us so we know how he attacks us. The first one, and I'm just going to prove it quickly. This is where I want you to be in Ephesians chapter, this is the book of Ephesians. I'm going to give a quick sketch of this and do the best I can here. But really, the book of Ephesians is the book that's being addressed. Paul is writing a letter to Pastor Timothy, who happens to be the pastor of the church in Ephesus. That's why I want to go to the book of Ephesians, so you know exactly what Paul is telling and writing Timothy to address in this local church. So, the first way that Satan attacks is unbelievers. And so if you're at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, here comes your quick sketch. Unbelievers are attacked in this way. If you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So, basically, the unbeliever is spiritually dead, and he's, in one sense, a follower of Satan. Or even to have this passage described, we're sons of disobedience. This is one way Satan attacks us. Another way, I'm going to set up a different way. I have a strange picture that Jenny's going to post up. Who knows who this person is? Who is that? Talk to me. Is that Superman? Or somebody else? Or maybe it's old school. It's Bizarro. Alright? Bizarro, Superman's good. He does the right thing. He fights for, the right thing. Bizarro is a messed up, bent up version of Superman. He has pretty much the same powers, but he doesn't fight for good. He actually is warped out and he does bad things. So, in one sense, kind of putting a weird word picture in your mind, when Satan does a number on believers and on the church, sometimes I think we are bizarro Christians. We're supposed to be one way, imitate Christ, but we do the bizarro, okay? Just settling in your mind. I never thought I'd put this picture up, but this is what came to me, because as you read the next way Satan attacks, I'm going to take these scriptures and put a bizarro twist on it and see how the church looks like and acts like when the church is operating in its own flesh and when the people in the church want to be their own king in a sense. So if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, the passage says we are not to walk as children. Well, in the bizarro world, we continue to walk as children, tossed to and fro, carried by every wave and every kind of wind of doctrine. Okay, you succumb, in the last part of verse 14, to deceitful schemes. And then when you hit verse 17, you continue to walk like Gentiles in futility of their mind. In verse 18, you're still darkened as believers in your understanding. You're alienated from the life of God. You continue to walk in ignorance. You continue to have a hard heart. This is the bizarro Christian.
children don't want to obey their mother and father. Fathers exasperate their children instead and provoke them to anger a whole bunch. This is bizarro Christianity. And then lastly, key number 5, Satan attacks church leaders. And I would say, if you're a church leader here, you know and have experienced what it means to be attacked. And Satan wants to attack us in all kinds of ways, like in the area of pride, sexual sin, materialism, and the whole game of the devil in verse 7 is that reproach will fall upon church leaders. And so this is basically how it works. And the name of the game is Satan. He wants to destroy and take down church leaders. So the whole church was destroyed and the sheep basically scattered. One of my professors once said this, and to beware of this. Life of the church is a design for the church to be submitted in one sense underneath Christ's rule through the elders and through the deacons and through the membership in that order. They call that the apostolic design of New Testament leadership in the life of the church. But sometimes things go bad, and I'm not picking on a deacon or anyone per se. This is what my professor once said. He says, Gary, just be careful in ministry one day, because there may be a day when your church becomes deacon possessed. Right? And there's membership madness, where the members go mad and the deacons want to possess the church. And I'm like, yeah, that's a scary deal. We don't want demon possession is one thing, deacon possession is a whole other thing. So, how do we stop this? Now we're going to turn the message the other direction. How do we stop this? How does the church defend itself? How do we fight against the wicked one? What shall we do? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 is key. So I want you to see this. For the weapons of our warfare is not of the flesh, but divinely purposeful for the destruction of fortresses.